This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the King of Kings. Amen. On November 4th, many of us voted for candidates who would serve in various offices on the national, state, and local levels. And of course, one of the most important votes we cast was for who would be the President of the United States. And we all know how that turned out. However, the political process in our nation is unique when viewed against the backdrop of world history. For example, most people throughout history did not have the freedom to vote and thereby elect who would serve them in a government office. Instead, many people in history had no voice or choice concerning who would rule over them. In fact, one common form of government throughout history has been what is known as a monarchy. Now that word monarchy actually comes from two Greek words, mon and arche, and it simply means one ruler. And in this form of government, one person would often have absolute power. We think of a monarchy with a picture of a king and a crown coming from a royal family of kings. Now, living in a monarchical form of government could either be good or bad, depending on your king. If your king was good, wise, and benevolent, then living under his rule was a joy and a blessing. However, if your king was evil, foolish, and cruel, then living under his rule could be a depressing and horrible experience. For example, consider the various kings of Israel throughout Old Testament history. In fact, we're going to start learning about those kings today in adult Bible class. Basically, when we read scripture, we learn that when the king was godly and when he made just laws, the people were blessed. But when the king was evil and made unjust laws, well then the people suffered greatly. Now at this point, we must understand that God is the one who has established government. God gives government to keep this sinful world under control. His goal is to give us good government with good leaders who will uphold good laws and punish those who do evil. However, if we examine history, we see that on many, many occasions, the leaders of nations actually went against their God-given conscience, and they instead used their power to do wicked things. But my friends, God will not be mocked. When rulers of government become corrupt and do evil, their kingdoms will not last. For example, Old Testament Israel was abandoned by God because their government became corrupt. In the same way, the mighty, mighty Roman Empire fell apart because of its corrupt leaders. And of course, just this past century, Nazi Germany suffered greatly because of the evil plans of Adolf Hitler. Of course, we Americans must remember that our nation is not exempt from going the way of nations before us. If we support or tolerate evil leaders who make unjust laws and promote evil, then God will not spare us either. Therefore, we need to pray that God will give us leaders who are good people, individuals who will follow the moral law of God written on their hearts, leaders who will promote good laws that result in good behavior and that prohibit evil behavior. However, one thing we must realize is that we will never, ever have a perfect government this side of heaven. Even if we have the best rulers that we could ever imagine, the fact is, even the best of rulers are still sinners, just like the people they rule over are still sinners. Therefore, we need to realize that the ultimate hope we have is the kingdom that Jesus will bring one day. In fact, because we will never have a perfect government this side of heaven, life in this world will always have its share of trials and problems. In fact, sometimes life in this world can become very painful and very difficult, especially for us Christians who trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and King. However, I have to admit that we Christians in the United States have been blessed. For many, many years, we've had the freedom to worship Christ. For many years, we've had opportunities to influence our society for the better. But not all Christians have had things that good. If you read Holy Scripture, you will discover that the first few generations of Christians suffered greatly under the evil Roman government that persecuted them. In fact, throughout history, there have been examples of faithful Christians being persecuted simply because they were striving to live for Jesus. In fact, even in our world today, there are Christians who are being horribly persecuted simply because they trust in Jesus and strive to live according to His will. As for the U.S., well, even though we Christians have it good, the fact is, our nation right now is going through a difficult time. Oh, we hope things will get better, and by God's grace, they will get better. But what if they don't? What if evil claims to have all the wisdom? What if wickedness claims to have all the power? What if things go from bad to worse to unbearable? When I see the way things are going in this nation, I wonder what it will be like for the next few generations of Christians. I wonder sometimes if there will come a day where, like other Christians around the world, we are persecuted greatly just for wanting to come together to worship Jesus. You know, this fact can make life in this world very difficult for us Christians. Sometimes we Christians see all the evil in the world and we might be tempted to despair. But my friends, no matter what happens in this evil world, we Christians must remember that we are citizens of Christ's kingdom. You see, Scripture teaches that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the one who is in control, even when it doesn't seem that way. Jesus is in control of history. The evil rulers and powers of this world do not control our eternal destiny. Even when it seems as though evil is in control everywhere, they're not. God holds the universe and your personal destiny in His hands. For example, when Jesus went to the cross, it appeared as though Jesus was powerless. But in fact, Jesus was still the Lord of all creation, even when He allowed people to nail Him to the cross. As I mentioned earlier, today is the last Sunday of the church year. On this day, many Christians around the world are focusing on the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings. In fact, today we also focus on the fact that Jesus will return in power and glory one day. Yes, even though Jesus went to the cross in weakness, remember, no one forced Him to go there. He went there willingly to die for our sins, that we might come to Him in repentance and receive forgiveness and eternal life in His love. But what if people who cling to their sin, what if people who reject that sacrifice, what if people who despise Jesus even though He gave His life for them? Well, one day, Jesus will return. But He will not return as a humble servant. He will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those those who trust in Him will be delivered by His almighty power. But those who despise Him and resist Him will then find out on that day who is really in control. One day Jesus will return in power and glory. On that day the evil rulers and powers of this world will be destroyed, and every knee will bow before the King of Kings. In our gospel reading from John chapter 18, we heard about Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman ruler in Judea at that time. Now the Jewish leaders had accused Jesus of claiming to be their king, which he was. But you see, they didn't believe in him, and so they were hoping to get Jesus into trouble with the Romans. Therefore, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Then Jesus gave an answer which shows that Jesus is a king like no other king we've ever seen before. Because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, he didn't mean that he was not the king of this world, because he is. He created the entire universe. Jesus rules over all creation, so of course he's the king of this world. So what did he mean then when he said that my kingdom is not of this world? What Jesus meant was that his kingdom is not the same as the sinful kingdoms of this world. As I mentioned in the children's sermon, earthly kings hate their enemies. Earthly kings do all they can to humiliate and destroy their enemies. But Jesus loves his enemies. Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, humiliated, and put to death so that he might save his enemies and make us his dearly loved children. Jesus also said the following to Pilate. He said, "You are right in saying I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate uttered those words that have been quoted in many places. What is truth? Sadly, we live in a culture where many people have been deceived by relativism. Relativism is the philosophy that there is no absolute truth, there is no real right and wrong, it's just all a matter of personal opinion. And yours is as good or as bad as mine. And no one can know for sure what truth is. But that's not what Scripture teaches, because God has made His truth known to us. God has revealed His truth to us through His Word and in the person and work of His Son. When the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and minds to trust God's Word, then we know what the truth is, and that truth sets us free. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So how does God's word of truth set us free? Well, first of all, God's word exposes the truth that we are sinners who deserve God's wrath. God's word shows us that we are his enemies. But God's word also shows us something else. God's word also shows us the truth that Jesus is our loving King who died for our sins so that we might receive forgiveness and live in his kingdom of love forever. And finally, God's word shows us the truth that Jesus conquered death. Jesus rose again, and he now lives and reigns for us as the King of Kings. In our reading from 1 Timothy, the Apostle Apostle Paul told Timothy to stand up for the truth. Because Jesus spoke the truth when he stood before Pilate. In the same way, we should follow Christ's example and stand up for the truth in our own society, all the time taking comfort in the fact that God is in control of our destiny. So even when we go through trials, it's part of God's plan. When we go through trials, not only does God help us to trust in His Son all the more, but when we go through trials, it gives us an opportunity to witness to others about the hope we have in Jesus, a hope that is certain even in the face of death itself. Paul also teaches us that we can look forward to the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. You see, we sinners naturally fear the day of judgment. We think of Jesus, as described in our reading from Revelation, coming with power and glory, and part of us wants to cringe because we know that we are sinners and we deserve God's wrath. But here's the good news I have for you. When we say in the creed that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, you can actually look forward to that day, and here's why. Because through faith in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus, you are now holy in God's sight. And so when Jesus returns, He will return for those who are His own, who have already been judged holy and innocent in His sight through faith in Him. Paul, in our reading from Timothy, calls God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, in this particular text, Paul is actually talking about God the Father. But, in the mystery of the Trinity, these words also apply to Jesus, His Son. For example, in our reading from Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle John uses various images to describe Jesus when He will return in power and glory. In fact, one of the things I love about John's description is that he says he sees Jesus in a white robe stained in blood. A reminder to us that Jesus ultimately wants all to be saved. He was willing to go to the cross and sacrifice Himself that all might be saved. Therefore, if people end up in hell, it's not because God wants them there. Because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. In addition, on the final day, Jesus will return in power and glory. I already mentioned that it's a scary thought to think of that. We also learn from Scripture that on the final day, all who insist on opposing Jesus will finally be destroyed. But as we learned last Sunday, we Christians do not have to fear Christ's return. Your sins have been forgiven. Through faith in Jesus, you are now holy in God's sight. Jesus has saved you from God's wrath on the final day. In our reading from Revelation, John says the following about Jesus. Here's what he says about Jesus. He says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My Christian friends, when things get tough for us Christians, when evil claims to have all the wisdom, and when the wicked claim to have all the power, we must then remember that Jesus, our Savior, is the King of Kings. And we can believe that even when everything around us seems to call that into question. I can't help but think of that thief on the cross who was brought to faith in Jesus. Here, Jesus was nailed to a cross next to him. And yet, what did the thief say? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So no matter how bad things get in this world, we can remember that Jesus is still in control. We are part of His kingdom through faith in Him. And one day, He will come again to take us home. My friends, Jesus holds our eternal destiny in His mighty hands. The mighty hands that were nailed to the cross for you. In closing, I'd like you to listen to the words of a song by a Christian group known as the Second Chapter of Acts. Now, the title of this song is, "Well, Haven't You Heard?" And the words of this song are written on the back of your folded insert. I'd like you to read through those as the song plays. And you probably will notice this, but the song is based directly on our reading from Revelation chapter 19. Now, as you listen to this beautiful and inspiring song, please remember that Jesus is the King of Kings. That means He reigns for you now, and He will come again for you in the future. Your eternal destiny is in His loving hands. So trust in Jesus and live for Him. And now please listen to the song, "Well, Haven't You Heard?"